Good morning.
May we feel the power of God's reconciling love among us as we worship today. We welcome all of you who have gathered here in this space, as well as those who are joining us by radio, telecast, or the internet. At this time, let's take a moment to greet those who are sitting near to you, or hold in prayer those friends and family members who are near to your heart but are separated by distance. On this final day of our Anabaptist Learning Month, we focus on our calling to pursue reconciliation with others. This ministry is grounded in God's reconciliation with us and with our right relationships with ourselves and with our environment. Reconciling with others is where the work of building right relationships can get very hard. This form of reconciliation demands our vulnerability and truth-telling, humility, our patience, and trust. Today, we will bear witness to the testimony of John Sharp and his experience with losing his son, Michael, and learn how he leaned into the work of reconciliation in the face of this overwhelming loss. May God's Spirit open our hearts to this work that the world so badly needs. I invite you now to turn in your bulletin to the call to worship as we read responsively. Hear, O people, our powerful, holy, merciful, and sovereign God is one. Escucha, pueblo, nuestro poderoso, santo, misericordioso y soberano Dios es uno. And we will love our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Llamaremos a nuestro Dios con todo nuestro corazón, alma, mente y fuerza, y nos vecinos como nosotros mismos. Do this, and you will live. Haz esto y vivirás. Let's now turn in our blue hymnals, a worship book, to page 407, as Beth leads us, and we are people of God's peace.
I invite you to stand as you are able as an affirmation of being juntos, being together as a part of God's community. Also note, this translation came from the International Songbook of Mennonite World Conference in 1990, also a statement of our brothers and sisters around the world.
Oh.
Continuing in the Green Book, Sing the Journey, the Beatitudes, number 94, Blessed Are They.
Let us pray. This morning we give thanks to you, O God, for the power of your reconciling love in our lives and in our world. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, who models how we should live with each other, friend and foe alike. We know that through Christ we are made new, all is made new. We thank you for the words and actions of Jesus that teach us a new way to live in harmony with others and our world. This morning, we bring to you our prayers of intercession. We pray for Elaine Harley as she recovers from retinal surgery on August 15th. May you bring comfort and healing to her, as well as to John as he continues his recovery from back surgery. For Merle Knofsinger, who will be having open heart surgery tomorrow morning, we pray for the doctors who will be performing this surgery and for Merle's healing. May Merle, Phyllis, and their family feel your presence and love in the coming days of recovery. We continue our prayers for Caleb Ganawan, who underwent another round of immunotherapy treatment at New York City this week and had many unexpected stays in the hospital. We pray for strength as he recovers from this difficult week of treatment. Hold him, Martin, Chica, Matthew, and Mara close as they continue this difficult journey. We lift up the family of Derek Kleffenstein, who died early this morning. We ask God to bring abiding comfort to his family during this time of grieving. We remember and pray for Sue and Richard Plank and family, as Sue's mother, Edna Helmuth, from Harrisonburg, Virginia, is in hospice care and in her last days. We also pray for the family of Florence Mae Reeker Ashelman, sister-in-law of Catherine Ashelman, who died on August 13th. Comfort the Ashelman family as they mourn her loss and celebrate her 100 years of life. God, you call us to a ministry of reconciliation, and send us as your ambassadors into the world, and yet we are not prepared to do this work. And so in confession, we pray in English or in Spanish. We confess that we get in the way of your reconciling work in our world. Our words are often spoken with disrespect and violence. Our actions often hurt the people and creatures that you love. We fail to see your image in the people with whom we disagree. Our patience falters when the work of restoring relationships gets hard. God, open our minds, hearts, and spirits that we may grow in maturity and humility. Prepare us to take up the work of reconciliation for the sake of this world that you so love. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we sing 117 in the Purple Sing the Story book, children may come forward for their story time, and all are invited to bring their coins forward for the My Coins Count offering.
Good job. Can you get those in there? There we go. Good job. Good morning, everybody. I have a story for you from a time when I was 13 years old. So a few years older than most of you are right now, but not too far off. But when I was 13 years old and in eighth grade, I was a part of a group of five girls who were best friends. And these girls did everything together. Every day they saved each other a spot in the cafeteria so that they could eat lunch together. Every day when the teachers weren't looking, they wrote little notes to each other and they passed them. See, this was before we had cell phones, so we used to write little notes on a piece of paper, and we'd fold them really small, and then when the teacher wasn't looking, we'd pass them to someone, and that's how we talked during class. So these girls were all the time passing notes to each other. This group of friends loved to spend the night at each other's houses, and they did that often. These girls were inseparable. But one day, for no apparent reason, four of these girls decided that they did not want to be friends with the fifth girl anymore. And they stopped saving a spot for her to sit with them at lunch. And they stopped passing notes to her during class. And they stopped inviting her over to spend the night. And on top of all of these things that they stopped doing, they also started doing something else that was new. They said mean things about her to classmates. And these things that they said made this girl feel very sad and very lonely. Now, this may surprise you when I say this, but I wish that I could tell you that I was this girl right here. And you may not understand that yet. But 23 years later, I feel so much guilt and shame that I was one of these girls right here. A group of girls that was so mean to someone that was their friend. But thankfully for me, the story doesn't end there. Because I had another friend, and his name was MJ. And MJ's dad is here this morning to talk with you about some of the work that his son did to bring reconciliation and peace to people. But I wanted you to know that when MJ was 13 years old, he was already doing the work of reconciliation. Because MJ found out about this broken relationship. And MJ came and talked to me, and MJ asked questions to try and understand why these girls weren't friends anymore. And because MJ did this, I realized that what I was doing was mean and cruel and so different from what God wanted me to be doing. So, from the prompting of MJ, I went to this friend, and I told her I was sorry. And I still don't understand today why, but she forgave me. And not only did she forgive me, but she worked towards rebuilding a relationship with me. She worked towards reconciliation with me. And I did not deserve that. This friend showed me the love of God. And today she is still one of my best friends. If we claim to love God, we must love God's people. In 1 John 4, it says, if you say that you love God, but you do not love God's people, you are a liar. Those are strong words, aren't they? If we say we love God, but we don't love our brothers and sisters and friends and the people who are near us, we are liars. So I'm here today. I wanted to tell you this story about a story about MJ because I want you to know that the work of reconciliation and the work towards rebuilding friendships and relationships, that can start now. In your homes, at school, in the cafeteria, a at church. Sometimes we even have relationships at church that we need to work on repairing. And they can happen right here in Goshen and in Elkhart County. Because who are God's children? Are God's children just us right here? No, God's children are everywhere, all the people of the world. And if we love God, we must love God's children. We're going to pray together, and then you can get your worship bags and go back to your parents. Dear God, we thank you so much that your love for us is so big and so huge and so never-ending. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to earth to share that love with us and to show us how to live and to be with other people. Help us to be your God, your people. Help us to interact with others in ways that when people look at us, they see you. Be with us today. Be with us as we look at our relationships and think about where can we start to work towards reconciliation. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. You may get your worship bags and head back to your parents.
To number 52, an old song, but one still with a strong message for us. Jesus, help us live in peace. We'll sing the refrain, verse 1, verse 2, and the refrain.
John Yost will be reading our scripture this morning. Following the scripture reading, there will be a few moments of a silent reflection. You may use the questions that are printed here in your bulletin. They'll also be on the screen to guide you with this reflection.
Second Corinthians 5, 17 to 20. Segunda de Corintios 5, 17 a 20. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, A new creation has come. Por lo tanto, si alguno está en Cristo, es una nueva creación. The old is gone. The new is here. Lo viejo está pasado y ha llegado ya lo nuevo. All this comes from God, who is reconciling us to himself through Christ. Todo esto proviene de Dios, quien, por medio de Cristo, nos reconcilió consigo mismo and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Y nos dio el ministerio de la reconciliación. That God in Christ was reconciling himself to the world, not counting people's sins against them. Esto es que Dios en Cristo está reconciliando al mundo consigo mismo, no tomándole en cuenta sus pecados, and committed us to the message of reconciliation, y encargándonos a nosotros al mensaje de reconciliación. We are therefore ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. Así que somos embajadores de Cristo, como si Dios los exhortara a nosotros, a ustedes, por medio de nosotros. On behalf of Christ, then, be reconciled to God. En nombre de Cristo, que se reconcilien con Dios.
What word or phrase in this story caught your attention? How are you engaged in the work of reconciliation in your family, this congregation, our community?
My name is Tim Lichty, and in a few moments I'll introduce you to John Sharp. But before we do that, I'd like to also tell you a little bit about the coming moments. After the sermon, after the service, we will dismiss for approximately 10 minutes. And then there will be no Sunday school, but we invite you to regather for a time of conversation with John, to hear some more stories, and to engage him in conversation in the latter part. Now, we'll have time to stretch your legs, get a cup of coffee, visit the restrooms, but probably not all three. So choose well. John? John is an author, a historian, a pastor. He is the father of three children, Aaron, Laura, and MJ, Michael John.
Michael Jesse, my father's
Michael
name.
Michael Jesse, sorry, thank you. And the husband of Michelle Miller Sharp. Now that's the bare bones skeleton of who John is. He and I have had the opportunity to teach in many elder hostels together, Rhodes Scholars, and our most recent adventures were to do an Anabaptist weekend with the Hmong pastors and leaders in Denver and American Native Americans in Mississippi. We have been together in many opportunities and experiences of ministry. And rather than tell you all the stories that I could, of which he would end up having the last word.
Mm-hmm. Always.
I will simply say John is and continues to be a dear friend. Let's pray. Lord, I just bring John to you at this time. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will give him the words and the strength to speak those words. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will open our hearts and our minds to hear those words and the courage to move out in today's world carrying that message abroad. We lift John to you and his family and his new grandchildren as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, friends. It's good to be among brothers and sisters this morning. And thank you for the invitation to tell our family's journey through the valley and shadow of death. And thank you, Sarah, for a new story about MJ. I have continued to say I'm never surprised, but I'm often amazed at the stories we hear and all that we have learned since MJ's death in 2017. It was the morning of March 13, 2017. I sometimes live in history, so the centuries get a little confusing. A phone call from the United Nations turned our world upside down. The UN called to tell us the dreadful news that MJ and his colleague Zaida Catalan of Sweden had disappeared in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Both were contract employees of the United Nations, assigned to the group of experts on the DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo. Each had a specialty. MJ's specialty was armed militia groups. How does a Mennonite become an expert in guns, ammunition, RPGs, and rebel groups? Our daughter's families kept camped out at our house for about 2 weeks, and for those weeks we wavered between hope and despair. The longer it went, the more we despaired. MJ's friends and I were certain that if he was held hostage, he would find a way to talk his way out of their predicament. But he never had that opportunity. He died that same day. They had arranged to meet with leaders of the militia group, Kamwina Nasapu, in central Kasai province. He was interested in the leadership structure, their use of child soldiers, their use of magic, and their financial support network. But they never made it. Zaida was interested in their use of magic. Speaking of magic, MJ told us the story where he was in the forest, as they call it, with a militia group. And he asked them about this potion that they made, gri-gri, a magical potion, that would make one impervious to bullets. And when he asked about it, he said, well, how do you make this? He wanted to know the ingredients. In a bowl. And he said, it really works. We can prove it to you. Drink this, and I'll shoot you, and you won't die. That didn't sound good to MJ. He later thought, no. And then he said, okay, I'll drink it, and you shoot me. And that didn't seem reasonable either. Later he said, I should have asked for a goat and had them drink, the goat drink this stuff and shoot it to see what would happen. They never returned from their mission on March 12. We were given the news on March 13, our older daughter Erin's birthday. And their bodies were discovered and identified on March 27, Michelle's birthday. We learned that MJ was shot and killed with a shotgun. Zaida was shot and beheaded. A video shows it all. Again, we were in shock. Who would make such a video? Kabila's government? Turned out to be true. The government released it to the press to say that, look, you can see who killed them. It wasn't us. Anybody who knew anything knew those were not militia members. We didn't see all of the video, just up to the moment of assassination. During the long walk, barefooted, MJ is shown engaging his captors. He noted inconsistencies. He asked questions. At what point, he asked, you have so many weapons. Why are you afraid of us? What fueled MJ's passion for nonviolent solutions in violent places? How did he move beyond traditional Mennonite non-resistance to something much more active, engaging those directly involved in violence? And more to the point, how were we to respond to the abduction and senseless murder of our only son and our sister's only brother? Neither fight nor flight, the so-called natural responses, seemed practical. Flight, of course, was irrelevant, and we realized that vengeance was not a realistic option. How could we enact vengeance from 8,000 miles away, 8,074 miles to be exact? And was Jesus joking about loving our enemies? Who does that? Was Paul serious about a ministry of reconciliation. If Paul was serious, we don't have to search for a mission. We have already been given the ministry of reconciliation. The question is, how do we do this kind of work in our contexts? Before the events of March 12, I had preached a sermon at Heston Mennonite. The topic was God. With such a broad topic, I suggested the scripture reader read the entire Bible. Somehow they did not find it humorous, as I did. Finally, a fitting solution was to give glimpses of God from several texts of the Bible. That included God's love for the world, so much so that he gave his only begotten son, to use King James language. For a graphic, I showed pictures of our grandchildren, saying I could not imagine doing what God did. I didn't use a picture of MJ, and I'm not sure why. Back to the point, how were we to respond to the abduction and murder of MJ? We remembered the Amish response at Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, the school shooting in 2006. One Amishman said, "The acid of hate destroys the container." Another asked, "Don't we pray, forgive us our sins as we give those of others?" Catholic sister Joan Chittister wrote, "While the violence to this Amish community shocked us, what really shocked us was their instant forgiveness, spontaneous forgiveness." One of my older colleagues wrote to the church press arguing that such a quick forgiveness could not be authentic. I said, "When you are conditioned to forgive, that's what you do." Their immediate response of forgiveness was reflexive. Many generations of Jesus-conditioned teaching and living made forgiveness the only logical choice. So how were we to respond? We remember the response of African Americans to the young white supremacist who shot 9 members of the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina in 2015. So how would we respond? We remember the gift of our church's history, a tradition of nearly 500 years of believing and practicing the gospel of peace. How could we respond with vengeance and hate so authenticated, so antithetical to MJ's commitment to peace building and to the ministry of reconciliation? We could not do it. We chose to believe that Jesus called us to a practice of peace, to practice the ethics of the kingdom, not in the by and by, but in the here and now. If Jesus were to be believed, violence and hate are passé, anachronistic. His great reversals you have heard, but I say unto you, calls us to renounce violence and to love enemies. Illogical? Naive? Maybe. But what is the logic of thinking that violence is an effective antidote to violence? It's like fighting fire with an accelerant. And thinking historically, we know that one war has led to the next one. So why should it surprise anyone that our response to our son's murder would avoid a call for revenge? We want accountability. We want justice, but not legal justice. We want some type of restorative justice. Our Amish and African American brothers and sisters have shown us the way. This doesn't remove our fierce pain or deep sadness and lingering anger, but it does shape our attitudes, our words, and our lives. As I've learned from my trauma counselor, though the pain is deep and MJ's absence is glaring, I'm trying to incorporate MJ's death and his absence into a new identity and new missions. So who was MJ? Well, I'll tell you more about who he was in the Sunday school hour, second hour, and you've seen glimpses on the screen. There are many stories that have emerged. The school bell prank at Bethany apparently seems to be well known. And a product will be released on Thursday that will celebrate all of that. MJ was inquisitive from the moment he was born. And Michelle and I were just talking, since we have a new grandbaby as of 4 days ago, that about nursing. It took Erin, our older daughter, a while. MJ latched on with a vengeance. We knew we had a challenge on our hands, and indeed we did. He was intellectually curious, wanted to know how things worked, and not every one of his experiments turned out to be positive. Like crawling on to the roof of our garage and was overlooking the backyard. A neighbor called Michelle. Michelle said, "Do you know your son is on the roof?" No. So Michelle walks to the bedroom with the window that leads to the roof, calmly asking, "Oh, MJ, I see you're here. What are you doing?" "I wanted to see what our guinea pigs looked like from up here." And on and on and on. One doesn't know what our children will catch, in spite of what we teach, sometimes because of what we teach, sometimes in spite of it. Somewhere along the way, school, church, college, he latched on to the ministry of reconciliation as his calling. We knew it was dangerous. He knew it was dangerous. But he said he lived without fear because he was not afraid to die. People have asked us, if you had known that this would happen, would you have raised MJ in a different way? I say, how could we? It's what we knew. He said, if something happened to me in Congo, the burden I carry is the pain it would cause my family. And indeed, it has been heavy. He had a passion for creative response to violence, a passion for the people and the land of the Congo. He called it a paradise, and Congolese there told me that he loved the people. He had a passion to make a difference for the people of Congo, a passion to live out what he said, and he assured his grandfather, who had a hard time seeing him go there, that yes, this was God's call for him. To forgive or to avenge? Forgiveness was the optimal choice. We would not let the acid of hate eat away at the container of our souls and our hearts. We believe Jesus meant what he said and that he was talking to us. One more story that we've learned since the abduction, and it was while I was on the hike to the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. Serge Lungeli was a colleague of MJ's. When I met him, I said, "Tell me a story I don't know." He said, "All right, I have one for you. We were returning from a mission, and we came across a bus parked crossways on the road, blocking traffic, and all the passengers were lying on the ground, naked, face down. And armed and masked men were robbing them." Serge said, "First thing I knew, MJ got out. I thought, 'MJ, what are you doing?' MJ walked to the people with guns and scolded them. He said, 'What are you doing? These are your people. Things like that should not happen. What gives you the right to treat people this way?' They walked away. MJ told the people lying on the road, 'Get dressed, get back on the bus, and go on your way.' When MJ came back to the vehicle, Sarah said, 'MJ, why did you do that?' He said he was shaking himself. This guy was doing things out of the ordinary. Well, MJ said, 2 things could happen to us. One, they could kidnap us, and if they did, my government would come and find us." Overly optimistic. "Second, they could kill us. And if they do, the blood spilled on this soil would make changes, would start healing this country." I asked Serge, "So, MJ and Zaida's blood was spilled on Congolese soil. Did anything change?" He said, "Yes, things have started to change. Things are different now. We have a long way to go, but the change has begun." Last April, we had the chance to meet the new president of Congo. And when we met with him in Washington, we walked into the room, and Kizichere said, before we could say anything, he said, "Michael and Zaida are heroes in our country. Everybody knows the story, and we will never forget them." We sang together that we are a people of peace who follow the Prince of Peace. It's really easy to talk about that, and I did it for years. Something is different now. My son died doing the work of peace in violent places. I hope others will step up and step into his place and do perhaps the unorthodox. Go to places of violence and try to make a difference. I think Jesus called us to do that.
Thank you, John. As we together sing Make Me a Channel of Your Peace and sing the Journey 56, I invite you to bring your offerings forward and pass the friendship pad that you'll find at the end of your pew.
Sing the Journey 56.
In response to God's call to be agents of reconciliation, we speak these words of intention and promise printed in our bulletin. A Spanish translation will be projected on the screens, and you may choose to read in either English or Spanish. Together, as Christians united with Christ, we offer ourselves as servants of God's peace, who will listen with the ears and heart of God, speak God's forgiveness, mercy, justice, and grace, lead with God's strong yet tender compassion, and reflect God's steadfast love and kindness. Again, we invite you to return to the sanctuary after a brief fellowship period to continue to have a conversation with John here. The children do have Sunday school, and just to make things a little bit clearer, if you started first grade this fall or are older, you can meet here in the center with Talasha, and she will take you where you need to go. For our closing hymn and benediction, please stand, if you are able, and turn in the blue hymnal to page 421.
Number 421.